Just a quick word from our sponsor before we jump into today's episode. Optimizing your internal processes can often be a huge unlock for streamlining revenue and getting you and your team, if you have one, out of a manual process. If you're looking to reduce costs and headaches in one fell swoop, consider graduating to NetSuite by Oracle. It's the number one cloud financial system, bringing accounting, financial management, inventory, HR into one platform and one source of truth. With NetSuite, you reduce IT costs because NetSuite lives in the cloud with no hardware required, accessed from anywhere, and you cut the cost of maintaining multiple systems because you've got one unified management suite. You improve efficiency by bringing all of your major business processes into one platform, slashing manual tasks and errors. Over 37,000 companies have already made the move. So do the math. See how you'll profit with NetSuite. Everything seems to be more expensive these days, so proven ways to cut costs and boost performance at the same time, like NetSuite, are kind of a no-brainer. By popular demand, NetSuite has extended its one-of-a-kind flexible financing program for a few more weeks. Head to netsuite.com/SPI. netsuite.com/SPI. Once again, netsuite.com/SPI. And now a quick word from our sponsor before we start the show. Ready to earn sustainable income while creating the work you're passionate about? Get started with Memberful. Whether you teach online courses, host a podcast, run a blog, or write a newsletter, Memberful has all the tools you need to unlock revenue and deeply connect with your audience through subscription membership. Their platform allows you to easily gate content, communicate with your audience, and tier membership access directly on your own website. Plus, with Memberful, there's no need to change your workflow. They work seamlessly and integrate with the tools you already use, including MailChimp, Discord, Zapier, ConvertKit, Google Analytics, and more. Utilize their powerful built-in features and dashboards and watch your business grow. The best part? Memberful gives you full control and ownership of your audience, your brand, and your business. Get started for free at memberful.com/SPI. One more time, that's memberful.com/SPI.
It's a really, really important thing to understand this. Most people think of jobs as being safe and secure, but if you get paid by one person and that one person ends for whatever reason, and it could be because of you, it could be because of the world events or whatever, you don't have much fallback position. So I like to get paid by lots and lots of people. That's a really good risk mitigation strategy. In our case, with an online business, you can get paid by different people in different parts of the world, and that's giving you some geographic protection.
Welcome to the Smart Passive Income Podcast, where it's all about working hard now so you can sit back and reap the benefits later.
And now your host. He thought the 2022 Super Bowl halftime show was the best one yet.
Pat Flynn.
Our sponsor today is Uplift Desk, creators of office furniture designed to help you work better and live healthier. If you're like most entrepreneurs, you probably spend a lot of time sitting. Well, a standing desk can make a huge difference. It's actually a complete game changer. If you haven't tried one before, this offer from Uplift is for you. Plus, you can support the show at the same time. Visit UpliftDesk.com/SPI for 5% off your order. Over a million customers have chosen Uplift Desk. Innovative product designs, reasonable pricing, same-day shipping, free accessories with every desk. You can see why they're such a big hit. Standing while I work helps me get the creative juices flowing, helps me focus and stay productive, and I'm way more alert when I'm standing. And Uplift is a great deal. An industry-leading 15-year warranty, free shipping, free return shipping if you need to do that. And they provide a state-of-the-art experience. They're stable, made of very solid materials, and there are over 100 desktop choices and customizations available. Go to upliftdesk.com/SPI for 5% off your order. That's UPLIFT desk.com/SPI to get 5% off your entire order.
You know, one of the most common questions I get is, Pat, do you have a coach yourself? You coach a lot of people, you have a podcast, you help thousands, tens of thousands of people, but do you yourself get help too? Absolutely. And I think it's massively important. And today you actually get to hear from somebody who I speak weekly with. His name is James Schramko from Superfast Business. And today we talk about simplification. We talk about lifestyle design and using the business as the mechanism to design the life the way that you want. And we go through a lot of James's history and how busy he was, how much he was grinding, how much he was getting close to burnout, and what he's done recently to reshape where he puts his time and where he puts his energy. We also discuss a lot of really interesting and for many of you watching or listening to this right now, brand new business models that you might be able to use that are actually quite simple once you zoom out and see how it all works. And so we talk about that and a lot more today. And James also has a very amazing free gift to go along with one of those strategies at the end that you'll have to listen to. But this is James Schramko, my coach. You can find him again at Superfast Business. He has a podcast and also a website. Here he is, James Schramko. James, welcome back to the Smart Passive Income Podcast. Thanks for joining me today.
Hey, Amit. This is a fantastic event. Thank you for having me.
Of course. And you and I chat almost every single week. Many people may not know this, but I hired you as a coach and a mentor for me. And one of the reasons why I love to chat with you is because the way that you've been able to design your life in a way that simplifies just everything that's going on, even though you're running businesses, even though you're a podcaster like me, even though you are a father and a husband, you've somehow been able to manage not just time, but your energy very, very well. And that's why I highly respect you. And I wanted to bring you on to talk about that. But I know it wasn't always like that. Like, can you go back into time and talk about when you became an entrepreneur, what life was like, and then we can go into how it's very different than now?
Yeah, essentially because I had kids fairly young, I was just looking to get money. I just needed to earn money. And so I found myself in getting into sales roles and working my way through the corporate career with first BMW and then Mercedes-Benz. Mm-hmm. And I never really had that much time for myself. It was, you know, in the car industry in Australia and probably in many other places, they're kind of a 7-day a week business. So it was yep. a good precursor training for having an online business because it was effectively always open every day. And so they even do 11-day fortnights, which is working 11 out of 14 days. So you sort of adding in these sort of extra weeks of work a year. So it was a lot of working in my early career, and it was just to get the money because I was young. I had this family to feed. I live in one of the more expensive cities at the time, Sydney, and yeah, you know, it was what you'd classify as a grind or bordering on, you know, lucky I was young because I think my health would have suffered a lot. The older you get, the more your body just can't handle that sort of stuff. Mm-hmm. So it was tough. And then I started to get this sense of impending doom over the fact that I was employed by one person. And I know this happened to you, but my biggest concern, especially towards the last few years, was that I would go into work one day and not have a job. And that would be catastrophic. Because I did what everyone else does as well. I had a mortgage, I was paying off my house, we were just covering costs I had a fantastic wage, but it also, it went out as quickly as it came in, like almost every employee. And I was concerned that it could stop. And I was very stressed by that. And sort of compounding this was the family history of this being an event in my life when I was younger, because my parents went through a similar situation to what my worst nightmare was. And so I was really driven to build my business on the side, what they would call now, I suppose, a side hustle, and to learn about online marketing and to figure out how to build websites. And I wasn't sure exactly what I would sell or how I was going to go about it, but I just started that process. And so there was this little crossover period where I was doing my day job as a general manager, you know, leading a team of 70 plus people in a $50 million revenue business. And then at night, I was a solopreneur, the classic solopreneur with the much lauded and held up high, but really not as good as it sounds, solopreneur role. So I wasn't getting much sleep for that period, and it was super tough. It was like crawling over broken glass. It was very difficult.
And then based on your history of your work with BMW and the car dealership, I'm sure that you brought a lot of that hustle into the web design space and what you were doing there. At what point did you, if you did, start to feel like you couldn't sustain that anymore or even burn out?
I had family members, well-meaning family members saying, listen, you're going to die. You're going to kill yourself. because, you know, looking back on it, I would work a full day of work, come home, tuck the kids into bed, eat my cold dinner, and then have a shower. And then I'd put on a hoodie and I'd sit at my computer and I'd work through till about 3 in the morning. And then I'd wake up again at 6:30 or 7 in the morning and do it all over again. So there was several months there where I was starting to not feel great. Luckily, I was younger, but still, it was taking a toll. It definitely is hard on relationships. I mean, it's hard having lots of kids and not seeing them. And it's also hard not knowing how you're going to get past where you're at. And then there was, back then, there was the financial crisis happening in the United States lending market, subprime lending market. And I happened to be in a luxury segment. I mean, I was the highest paid person in my type of role in the Mercedes-Benz network. And I definitely felt fragile.
And then ultimately, what made you decide to go full-time online? Did you end up quitting or did you end up getting fired like you, like was your nightmare?
I didn't get fired, even though I had virtually made my role redundant. I'd done a very good job of systemizing things and getting people in the team doing what they were supposed to be doing. That was my super strength. I was particularly good at systems and people. And I don't know if you follow Gino Wickman. You've probably even had him on your show at some point. But he talks about how only 10% of 4% of people should be entrepreneurs, and only 10% of them can actually be integrators and visionaries. So I had this rare skill set of being able to sell and having creative ideas, but also being good at organization. So I immediately recognized when I went online, there was a lot of people who were extremely weak in the, especially the team building and leadership stuff and strategy and handling big responsibilities. I mean, I was young and handling huge responsibilities. I think when I was 30, I was in charge of a $100 million per year business. So I had really good experience with this responsibility. And so I found all these people who are particularly good at their stuff online, like super creative or really good at selling stuff, but had absolutely no idea about building team or organizing systems or protecting themselves from perilous doom. It's like they were literally about to be torpedoed and they didn't realize it. They do all sorts of crazy stuff like building on trademark brands, getting into disputes with people, taking on business models that are fads that are going to sort of stop in 10 minutes from now. And so I found that as I was helping my clients with their website stuff, which was my first sort of avenue of income, affiliate marketing, that there was a need for this. And so I was pretty early to create a community. I think my first year out of quitting my job, I was able to build community. But the way I got out of my job, to answer your question, was I set a trigger. My goal was to match my income. As soon as I could match my income from my salary with my online business, then I would leave the job. So I actually ended up handing in the keys to my two cars and saying, thanks very much, but I'm on my own now. And looking back, it's actually frightening to think that that happened. It was one of the scariest things I've ever done in my life. I was grateful that I didn't get fired, but it was definitely a huge risk because I knew the owner was half out the door. And a few years later from when I left, they sold the business. So, you know, I'm not sure if I would have survived an ownership change anyway. But in hindsight, it's a really, really important thing to understand this. Most people think of jobs as being safe and secure, but if you get paid by one person and that one person ends for whatever reason, and it could be because of you, it could be because of just the world events or whatever, you don't have much fallback position. So I like to get paid by lots and lots of people. That's a really good risk mitigation strategy. Get paid by plenty of different people. In our case, with an online business, you can get paid by different people in different parts of the world, and that's giving you some geographic protection. And then, of course, from a business model perspective, I like to get paid for different product lines. I've got a few different ways that I get paid. Of course, you and I speak. That's one of the sort of product lines of mine. And then I do revenue share deals, which is my new most favorite thing, and we should definitely talk about at some point. And then I've got my sort of core membership programs. And remember when we spoke, I think it was back in 2013, I was very enthusiastic for you to get a membership, Pat. I thought that you were basically the most perfect person on the planet to start a membership. And I'm glad you did.
It took 7 or 8 years to finally get around to doing it. But I remember that conversation because you have a business model that is primarily also a membership with Super Fast Business. And we talked about that the last time you were on the show 4 or 5 years ago. And of course, since then, a lot has changed. The world has changed. The way business is done has changed. But what hasn't changed is the fact that I know that you've been very purposeful with what you allow to kind of come into your life and what you say no to. Mm. What do you use now as like a barometer for where you spend your time and how you've been able to design your life the way it is?
So it's about shifting priorities. Like partly it's because of aging. I mean, like so, say just as a man, when you're young, you want to prove to the world that you're the king and that you need to find a good mate and be attractive to the opposite sex. And I think you need to show other people that you're impressive with fancy things and stuff. And I do see a lot of this culture online. But for me, I kind of grew out of that. Once I achieved competitive notches on my belt, so to speak, I got mm-hmm. the top salesperson award and the top sales manager award and got my own business. And then, I don't know, other things took priority. So for me, things like relationships, I wanted to have time with my children. I want to surf every day. I didn't used to surf until about 8 years ago. So this is a more recent thing. And that's been probably one of the greatest teachers in my life because you have to carve out time to do that. It's going to take you an hour a day and sometimes more. My favorite place to surf these days, it's a 3-hour round trip from when I leave to when I get back. And it's such a metaphor for resilience and growth. It's probably the single biggest thing that's changed my life. It's like that Point Break movie. There's a line in that. And Keanu Reeves is trying to buy a surfboard and the little kid at the shop, he says, surfing's the source. It'll change your life. And that's my priority. My priority now is I want to surf every day. And that's the guiding star. It's probably a lot like your Pokemon endeavors. That's become important mm-hmm. to you, even though in, old Pat 10 years ago might have thought that was a silly notion. But now you can basically, my message is that you can build your life around something other than what other people's goals would tell you would be success. So success might mean something different to different people. But if I can have a great relationship with the people around me, if I can keep my body physically healthy, if I can build wealth without cutting any corners or wronging any people, if I can surf every day and have, that kid-like smile and enjoyment and the personal challenge of trying to improve, then I'm happy. And the business is really a vehicle that helps pay for that lifestyle. And if you set your business up well, and there's really just a couple of things that make all the difference, then you can actually fund your perfect lifestyle. Once I coined this sort of expression of wealthification, but it's this kind of process of having a wealthy life where your business is working to your commands rather than you being commanded within someone else's business, which is the traditional way most of us start.
Mm-hmm. I mean, it's very simple for you and I to say that on this side after, exactly. A decade plus of business and being able to now have the opportunities, the time, and also the resources to shape the life that we want, and me going into Pokemon, you surfing every day. And I love that metaphor. But I also can empathize with those who are listening right now who are like, okay, that all sounds great, but I got to build a business and it feels like I have to grind and I cannot do these things that I can't surf every day. Yeah. Or even I can't get any time to surf. Like I want to get there, but I can't right now. So what is the roadmap for a person yeah. who's sitting there who was us, when we first started out?
I hear you. And I know there's people screaming at it and can't relate because we always refer to everything in our own sphere. Like we take mm-hmm. what we listen to and then we relate it to ourselves. And then we say, well, these guys, they're already accomplished. They've already got runs on the board. They've got money in the bank, et cetera. And so they'll dismiss it. But I'd say one massive thing is firstly, just take huge responsibility for your outcomes. The second that you say, right, I'm going to stop buying lottery tickets and I'm not going to rely on a government handout, that's like step one. When you don't hope that someone's going to swoop in and save the day. They're going to ride in on their white horse and just hand out dollar bills. Not going to happen. Mm. Both you and I have experienced that. We've had to do it ourselves, had to step into the driver's seat of our own life, so to speak. Second thing is you can shortcut the process. I don't think you have to go through what you went through and what I went through. I mean, I think your job got ended on you from memory. And in my case, I didn't have a me in my life to help me. I had to figure it out. I was probably in the wrong country to try and learn this stuff quickly, because all the American market was way ahead of us for the online space. And there was just no one to talk to. So to answer your question with a true story, I was surfing with this guy that I'd bumped into in the surf every now and then, and he was telling me about how much he doesn't like his job and didn't want to go in on the Mondays, and he couldn't surf with me the next day because he's got to go into the city. And I just said, mm-hmm. Why do you do that? And he said, what else would I do? And I said, well, let me tell you about this. So I actually found out what he's good at, and then I saw where he might plug into my network of people who have problems that he could solve. And then we just pulled up a note thing on my computer screen. I just wrote down the steps that he would have to take, and it wasn't too many steps, but the first step was for him to read a resource that would give him a codec for being able to offer a service. So to understand how, you know, what sort of service he would offer and how he might communicate it. The next thing was to work on being able to join up with people who have the problem that he solves. So I was able to make introductions in this case, because I had lots of people with the problems that he solves in my network. And so he sort of skipped the whole need for a website or any of that stuff, PayPal or Cart, the whole bit. All you need is the ability to solve a problem and then to be able to go and connect with the people who have that problem. From there, he was able to get a client. And from then we did the other stuff, like register a business and set up a bank account and put up a 2-page website. And now, less than a year later, he's got, I think, 8 clients, and they pay an average of $5,000 or $6,000 a month. And he's got a team of 5 or 6 people. So the first thing I did is said, we need to build team. It can't be you. We need to build this model around it not being you all the time. And he just followed all the instructions. So we're talking about within a year to have a very substantial business. This guy still surfs twice a day. He can travel anywhere he wants. He loves the work he does. He works less than he did in the job. He has got a fantastic reputation. And that's the fast track. So the secret ingredient there is having someone like me or you to show you what to do, instead of having to try and figure it all out the slow and difficult and, in the end, expensive way. I'd say my biggest failure in the beginning was not investing enough on courses and training. For some reason, I was trying to just navigate it all by myself, and I was a little bit slow to get team, but I eventually got there. The two things you really need to have if you want to build that space into your life, I call this white space, but that's really been the thing that makes my life the best it is now, is creating that white space, is to have team, so that you're not in a job-like business. Like, that solopreneur really is a very difficult business. And the second thing is to have the right business model, looking for the leverage. I had a big transition in my own affiliate promotions when I started promoting things that paid recurring. And then when I set up my own products, like, just about everything that I do is recurring. My partnerships are recurring. My coaching is recurring. And my membership, which I set up in early 2009, that has been the most incredible machine. It just is a machine. It's been such a good business model, and it was a great platform for me to be able to help people and to create wins for them, but also to work well for me. And the best thing about communities is that you can attend it when you want. But it took a huge amount of discipline, Pat, to just stop working 7 days a week. I would have been classified as a workaholic at some point early on in the online thing, because, you know, the first thing I did when I quit my job was just pedal as hard as I could to make sure I had a lot of buffer. And I didn't feel safe and secure until a few years later because I needed to build a bank. I wanted a cash bank of confidence that I could have runway. You know, we need to have years worth of expenses really to feel super safe these days. And to the evolution is start early and take full responsibility and then use your business as a vehicle to bring cash out of it at some point to put into things outside the business. And that's where you have to deviate from the traditional plan. And that's why it can be misleading mm-hmm. to benchmark off billionaires. A lot of those guys are reinvesting back into their own businesses, or they're actually reinvesting other people's money in many cases. They have investors. So for the average person listening to this, they're probably not going to have investors. They're probably not going to float on the stock exchange. They probably don't need to reinvest every nickel and dime back into their business to make it bigger, to grow, to have big revenue, because that's impressive. What they might want is a lifestyle business that covers their costs, gives them a little surplus to put into some outside the business investments, and to pick the right people to bring into your business to help you in a team sense. And then in that time that you're not grinding and hustling, you can actually think about what you actually want to do and gravitate towards the projects that excite you the most, which is why, you know, what you're doing with Pokemon and what you did with the membership and how you've matured your business has been like pretty much top of class. That's a benchmark for anyone who's coming down that path, because you started as just you and now you've mm-hmm. got a proper business.
It was definitely just me, and I only wanted it to be me, but I was either going to burn out, or the business was not going to move as fast as it needed to, or I was going to go back to my job, and I didn't want to do that. Big credit to Matt, our CEO, obviously, because he stepped in and he really helped to turn the business into what it is. And I knew to hire Matt because I don't have that knowledge. I don't have that skill. And like you said, you got to find the people who have those skills to be able to fill in those gaps. And me being more of a visionary, I didn't have the implementation skills to go to where I know I wanted it to go, but I just didn't know how. You had mentioned getting sort of a bankroll to feel a little confident and whatnot, especially when you're just starting out. Now, I know for people who have jobs who maybe aren't getting pushed out, you know, that is a good opportunity to save and put into an account so that by the time it gets to a certain level, then you can feel a little bit more comfortable working on your own. But what about those people who do get pushed out or they are on their own already? Are you saying that it is going to be kind of a grind at first to get to that point where then, you know, there's a little bit of a bankroll to then use to then invest or start designing with? Because it's hard to design the lifestyle you want when you're just starting out and you don't have any money coming in.
Yeah, I get that not having money is difficult, but a lot of the best things are actually free. Like, for example, if you're lucky enough to live near the ocean, which I am, and I certainly am by choice, just going to the beach, sitting at the beach quietly, having that salt air or swimming in the water, that can be a massive reset and recharge. It can mm-hmm. keep you strong and grounded. I'm going to say that I think in the future, that sort of thing will be a super privileged experience, because we are moving into this sort of discussion of metaverses and there's Web3s and NFTs and, you know,
yeah.
Some of it's great, but a lot of it I think is just getting people completely distracted and there's, you know, trading cryptos and things and setting up screens and getting alerts. And I feel like they're sort of getting sucked into an unreal world. And I mm-hmm. think in the future, analog experiences will be positive. So for me, the thing that grounds me, and because I coach a lot of people who are very busy and super creative and much smarter than I am actually in almost every case, but they're so good at what they do, the way that I ground is to switch it off. I only work 15 hours a week now, and I do the bulk of that in 3 days, and so that I can have most of the week to just osmos or relax or gravitate to things that are really interesting to me. And mm-hmm. and so I would say, even if you're just starting out and you have no money, I would try and build in some personal time every day so that you're not just like that wood chopper with a blunt axe. You know, I would say that I can absolutely do more stuff in less time now because I'm sharp and because I'm interested in the work. So I do think there's an inevitable difficult learning curve for anything new, whether that's speaking a language, learning guitar, surfing. Mm-hmm. Oh, my God, that is very difficult to start. However, if you commit to that, and that's been the best thing for me to reconnect with my own audience, going through something from scratch and learning that from the start has been super humbling and also informing. It's helped me understand where people are at. You know, I could look at Kelly Slater and think I'll never be as good as him or whatever, but my goal really shouldn't be to be as good as him. My goal should be to have you know, be as good as I want to be and how responsible I want to be for that level. And so I would say, don't worry about other people's goals. Just put one foot in front of the other and build some space around your life. If you don't have a lot of money, then find people with money. You can do things like triangulation deals. I'll tell you about this situation I had once. I used to speak from stage occasionally, and like about 10 years ago, I think I was offering people to come to my workshop, and it was a few thousand dollars. And a lady put up her hand and she said, "What if I want to come to the workshop but I don't have any money?" And I said, "Well, like, do you have time to come to the workshop?" She said, "Yes." And I said, "Well, your goal then would be to look around the room here and find someone who has the money to come to the workshop and would like to learn the things that I'm teaching but doesn't have the time to come to it. And maybe they can sponsor you to come to the workshop." And she said, "Okay." And in the break, she went and found someone, and this person sponsored her to come to the workshop. He paid for her to come to the workshop, and I suggested that she comes to the workshop and applies what she learns on his business that exceeds the value of what he puts towards the workshop. Mm. And she turned out to be a lifelong customer, which was great. And she didn't have the money. And that's exactly how I learned marketing in the first place. I went to, when I was working in the dealership, I went to a smash repairer or panel shop, a car repairer. And mm-hmm. I said, "Listen, I can help you grow your business and I'm going to need some materials for it. So if you could buy me these resources, I will go through them and then I'll apply them to your business." And I bought several hundred dollars worth of Dan Kennedy books at the time. And then I wrote up a plan and I did the marketing ideas and the strategy stuff and rewrote copy and stuff for this smash repairer. And in the end, I ended up helping them get a Mercedes-Benz repair license, which was really worth millions of dollars per year through my connections with the network. So it turned it into a good investment. But these are creative ways, and this is taught by Jay mm-hmm. Abraham, by the way, just to credit the original source where I learned about these sort of barter deals. You don't need money, and a lot of entrepreneurs don't use their own money in business investments. You just need people who have money, or you need to have an offer that's interesting, and you have to be trustworthy and somebody who someone would feel comfortable is actually able to help them solve their problem or bring value to the table.
And that's, I always talk about how important relationships are. It's the people who I've surrounded myself with that have gotten me to where I am today. And without those people, I definitely wouldn't be here. So definitely. And there are ways to provide value and add value to other people's lives. Even if you are quote unquote just starting out or somebody they don't know, you just have to know what is of value to them and you can support them in that way. You had mentioned memberships. I know that you've had a membership since 08 or 09. And when you got into that, you know, memberships are kind of the holy grail of passive income, right? With the recurring income that could come in from that and having a community and predictability and whatnot. But it became very apparent on my team and for myself when we built SPI Pro that this was definitely like the least passive thing ever. So I'm curious because you had mentioned a little bit about doing it when you want to do it, but how do you ensure that you are still providing value in your membership or community while still staying sane and not, you know, staying up late just to answer comments and questions? And how do you protect your time and how do you continue to lifestyle design with something like a membership site?
Yeah, it's an interesting one because obviously it's changed a lot since 2009. I think I was doing memberships before Facebook groups, and then Facebook groups became big, and then Facebook groups are starting to fade again, finally. So, You know, I don't have any community managers in my membership, and I don't have a bazillion customers. So I think has a lot to do with what does value actually mean for a customer. So it might depend on your promise. So if you're more social than I am, or you're very interested in creating activity, then you could probably create a lot of work for yourself. I learned this lesson once when, if you do this exercise, you go through your inbox and you reply to everyone in there, then the next day you're going to have like another 100 messages back. So you can create your own momentum. The way that people get value from my community might be different for different people, but it might also be different than what other people offer in their community. Ultimately, I'm kind of like an insurance policy people can go to and tell me what's broken and I fix it. And that might not be something they need every day. For some it is. And I say to those people, look, if you're always putting out fires, then you are the arsonist, right? So I'm helping people learn how to think differently about the way they do business. And sometimes that can come in different formats. So I do run a monthly training, and I do run a monthly Ask Me Anything. And so I do have to turn up for that. I answer every post every day. That sounds crazy, but that really is my only job, because it's all the things I don't do, right? If you list the things I don't do, there's a lot, because I don't have affiliates. I don't do launches. I run very few live events. Don't do boot camps. I don't do summits. What I do is I just do 2 podcasts a week, and I answer questions in my community. That's my job. And it pays well, and people have just gotten used to that cadence. Most people aren't going to post more than a question per day, so that works out pretty well. And by limiting the number of people you have in the membership, just from a, you can dial that mix from the marketing. See, I don't do paid traffic either, really, and I'm not doing big promotions, so I'm not flooding my community with thousands and thousands of members. I've only got hundreds of members, and I can manage that. Plus, because of the job I used to have with 70 staff and the fact that I've been coaching people, I mean, I've been running a weekly coaching call since 2010, and I've been answering forum questions since I got online, actually. I used to work other people's forums. I was actually answering questions in other paid memberships that I was paying to be in since probably 2006. And so that's my skill. I can partition, I can remember, I can pick up a conversation that I'm having with someone from the last time I spoke with them and remember everything about it. And so I'm probably partially lucky, and it's also learned. But also over time, you create a body of work and you can leverage it. So let's say 3 people ask me the same question, then I'll create a training on it and put that in the community. And then from the next time someone asks, I can say, this answers your question exactly, and I'll link to it. So you can create little shortcuts, like building neuron links in a brain. So I'd say my membership, you know, with all the content I have, and the members also serve each other. They do help each other, and I love that peer-to-peer contact. And by not having a big promise of, you know, massive engagement, or not making engagement my prime metric, then that's probably served me well. The main metric I have is I want to make sure that the member has a return on investment. And the way they get that might be just not being lonely. It might be that they can bring a problem to the table and get it solved. It might be that they want to come to an event once a year and they just love chatting with the people in between us. There's lots of different ways people get value.
How are you gaining members into your membership if you're not doing any big launches? If you are not doing paid ads, what's the cycle or the customer journey for a member?
Some people will get my book. I've got a book on Amazon, and I do run some Amazon ads on Amazon to the book. That's a good starting point. So that's a little sort of self-contained ecosystem. I give away my book from my website. So some people find it through me either mentioning it, or they somehow find it through SEO. We do well with SEO. They'll get the free book, and from the free book, they will get an email sequence which offers them membership. I do have a couple of little, I've taken some of my best trainings that people, like some of them have been viewed a couple of thousand times within the membership. So they're clearly, of all the content, they're the best ones. I've put them as little individual products on my website. And I give them, I firstly give them away super cheap, like $9 or whatever. And they buy the product, they'll also get offered a coupon into the membership. So lots of front doors. And of course, I have a podcast. And every week we publish two podcasts. And every podcast we'll email and we'll share on socials. And by we, I mean my team. My team will send the email. Mm-hmm. My team will write the blog post. My team will post to the socials. I'll share it on my personal social. And every episode's going to have a call to action. And most people who listen to the podcast would be aware that I have a membership. And then, of course, it's just referrals. I do get a lot of people come in because they know someone who's been in the membership and they rave about it, which is what I, that was my intention when I didn't have an affiliate program, was I want people to refer people to me because they really like the product rather than because they're going to be paid.
Yeah, that makes sense. Now, before we finish up here, and again, thank you, James, for this. You had mentioned something called the rev share deals earlier on in the episode. I wanted to circle back to that because I know, because we've chatted, it is a huge opportunity. It's an amazing way to diversify and add more income into your bottom line, but also it's very, very protective of your time as well. Can you share what this rev share deal situation is like and how one might get started with that?
Yeah. So the two parts to this. Part one is I asked Jay Abraham if he went back in time, what would he change? And he said he would have done more revenue share deals. And I said, tell me more about that. And he shared with me lots of notes from his workshops and stuff. But essentially he said, look, these clients who are paying him $25,000 for workshops, they would have been happy to give him a few cents in the dollar to help them grow the business forever. And they would have added up to millions of dollars. And I thought, this is essentially, it's just like being an affiliate for a whole business instead of just the stuff you send them. So if you have skills that are handy for a business, and in my case, I'm sort of a business growth person. So it's pretty easy for me to say to the right business, listen, you've gotten here all by yourself. If I can take you past here, would you share some of that excess with me? Let's say they make, for every dollar they make, if they keep 90 cents and just give me 10 cents, and they might say, well, that sounds pretty good. We'll pay you 10 cents in every dollar that we don't currently make if you can get it for us. And that's basically how they work. Now, sometimes I'll do it from startup, like my friend in the surf. I might say, listen, I can help you grow this business from absolutely zero, and I'd like a small percentage of it. And for that, in his case, I've basically just completely removed the need for him to do any marketing whatsoever, just joined him straight up to the end user. And I've given him all the guidance and knowledge of the market, and I help him grow his team, and he's just loving it. So it's been a fantastic partnership. So it's basically, you know, who can you do a yin-yang relationship with? It's like your Matt, right? He's a good example where he brings something to the table that you are not necessarily that keen on doing, or in some cases, it's not your super strength. And then you work together. So there are lots of ways that you can do this. But if you were to think about the fact that these deals can often be sort of lifetime deals, they go for a long time. The way that they end usually is if you don't like it, you can end it. Just give notice. But if they don't want to continue, they can usually just buy it out. So you just put a buyout clause in there. And I think this is one of the easiest ways for someone to get started if they have a strong skill. And especially if they're an agency or service provider, you might opt to get paid on performance versus a retainer. And that's really the big shift in thinking. And the benefit that I've found is that versus just a straight coaching fee, if I'm getting paid on the upside performance, it means I can do more things with that client. I can email for them. I can distribute them through my social channels. I can put them on the podcast more often with their own series. I can connect them with affiliates. So that's one difference between being an affiliate versus a revenue share partner. If you're a revenue share partner with a company, even on a smaller percentage, but you bring them 50 affiliates, then they're going to grow much faster than if you are competing with the affiliates as an affiliate.
Right. And it's not just promoting a particular product, it's promoting the whole company, and any sales that are made, not just that product that you promote as an affiliate.
Any sales from any source. Yep. And now you can partition them off. Like, there's some nuances. You might say, listen, you've got this product and that product. Let's just do a revenue share on that product. Or you could do it on, you know, and inevitably entrepreneurs seem to have more than one business often, you know, like different divisions altogether to do completely different things. So you might silo them off and say, well, this is in the deal, this is not in the deal. And it's all spelled out on a simple agreement. And it's, I found, like, it's rapidly become, it's sort of eating up more of my income pie now. I'd say it's getting closer to half my income is through these revenue share partner deals. And what it's meant for me is a massive change. For example, if one partner pays me the same as what I might have got from 3 or 5 coaching clients, then, you know, the energy released from that is incredible. I get to just have a nice deep relationship with one person instead of having to set up 4 calendars, sort of appointments, and spread myself over. And, you know, it just means more surfing time for me, more relationships and better partnerships. And I like that kind of business model.
Have you ever had anybody who partners with you in that sort of way, and then they're making a lot of money and they go, James, like, I'm paying you way more than if I had just paid you like as just like a coaching person or an agency. Like, I'm not comfortable with this. You're like, I can imagine that, especially if you help them out so much. How do you combat that? How do you position yourself? Because I can imagine that happening.
Hasn't happened to me, but it does happen to others. And it's one of the things that I prepared for when I decided to try this model again, because I actually started this model in the beginning. I did the classic rookie mistake of trying to do 50-50 deals with people, but they usually suck. You've got to be very lucky to pull off a 50-50 deal. And the reason they fail, I could get into in a different environment. But I research people who do royalty deals and licensing deals. There are lots of examples because the music industry does it, copywriters do it. And I found one guy who did retainer plus percentage. His clients always arced up about having to pay it. And so he put in a payout fee, and that was very clever. And so that's really the secret to making it work, is if you give the client an out when you know, if the kitchen's getting too hot and they feel like they're overpaying, then they can just buy it out and end it. And then they're betting on themselves being able to do better without you. And that's totally fine, because you're building their business in a kind of quasi partnership way, and then you get paid out like a partner who would get paid if the business was sold. So selling the business is another event that is covered by that agreement.
Interesting. Do you have podcast episodes about this and talk more in depth?
I think I do have a podcast episode about it on Superfast Business, and I've got a really simple little training on it. I'd be happy to give it to your listeners if you want. I sell it, but I'd be happy to give it. It's just a good primer.
Oh, that'd be great. Where should they go to grab that?
It's on superfastresults.com, and I'll send you a coupon that you can put on your SPI podcast. We'll use the coupon PAT. We'll make it simple.
Okay, there we go. And then what was the URL one more time?
superfastresults.com, and I'll get you a coupon for PAT, so you can use PAT for that revenue share training, and it'll be free.
Sweet. Thanks, James. Really amazing stuff. I'm sure stuff that people have never thought about before could open up avenues of income for a lot of people. So I appreciate you coming on. And I think the biggest thing to take away is the idea of, you know, owning your outcome. Some people have seen me wear a shirt that says that, because we believe that in SPI as well. You know, take responsibility for whatever happens. And wherever you are, you always have the choice of doing one thing or another, and to always not have to wait around for somebody else to help you, but, you know, you take that action, or you ask the questions that you need help on, and you go and get it. That's where that responsibility happens, and that's where a lot of success can come from. So I appreciate you, James. Thank you so much. Besides that URL, superfastresults.com, coupon code PAT, where else should people go to intake more of your wisdom?
Look, I would start at Superfast Business. That's go and listen to the Pat podcast. We'll have to get you back to for an update with your Pokemon
stuff. Yeah, it's been a while.
Because that's fascinating.
It's going wild, and I'm having a ton of fun doing it. So anyway, thank you, James. Appreciate you. And I look forward to our next coaching chat, you and I.
Thanks, Pat.
All right. I hope you enjoyed this interview with my coach, James Schramko. James has just been life-changing for me, and he might be for you too. And if you want to check him out, superfastbusiness.com, or you can go to superfastresults and use the coupon code PAT if you want to get more about that RevShare deal and hear some special training around that, which is really, really interesting. You know, I advise a lot of companies, but I always wonder, what if I had a RevShare deal with them instead? I could potentially make that much more money. And with companies that you support or certain people who might need the skills that you have to offer, a RevShare deal might be exactly what you might need to start some diversification inside of your bottom line. Now, thank you again for watching all the way through. I appreciate you. If you want to get all the links and resources mentioned in this episode, head on over to smartpassiveincome.com/session577. Again, that's smartpassiveincome.com/session577. We also talked a lot about community, and James has one. Of course, you've heard of the one that is on our end as well, SPI Pro. If you want to apply to that, go to spipro.com. That way you can connect with other people just like you, get some support from myself and other team members that we have on SPI Media, and just join an amazing group of people. Again, you can find that and apply at spipro.com. Thank you so much. I appreciate you, and I look forward to serving you very, very soon. If you haven't yet hit that subscribe button, make sure to do that so you don't miss out, and I'll see you in the next one. Cheers, peace out, and as always, Team Flynn for the win. Thanks for listening to the Smart Passive Income Podcast at smartpassiveincome.com. I'm your host, Pat Flynn. Our senior producer is Sarah Jane Hess. Our series producer is David Grabowski. And our executive producer is Matt Gartland. Sound and video editing by Sean West Media. The Smart Passive Income Podcast is a production of SPI Media. We'll catch you in the next session. Hey, if you're looking for a new podcast to add to your rotation, I've got one for you. It's called Dirty Money, and it's like a hybrid between a true crime and a business podcast. So hosts Jonathan Small and Dan Bova tell the tales of legendary scammers, con artists, and barely legal lowlifes who stop at nothing to rake in millions. Recent episodes include a man who looted $100 million from his own company. Crazy. Give it a listen. Head on over to Dirty Money right now on Apple Podcasts, Google, Spotify, or Stitcher.